Coming back to our text, 1 Corinthians 11, 23, and even to the end, 33 and 34. Here it tells us that a regular church, according to Calvin, is one that not only preaches the word, but also officiates baptism and the Lord's Supper. But I would like to tell you something about the Salvation Army. They have the preaching of the word, but they don't baptize with water, and they don't hold the Lord's Supper. And so, it is called a para-church. Half a church is a para-church, and not a regular church. And not only that, they baptize by waving a red flag over you. They say it is a baptism by fire. Invented by the founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth. In his zeal, because many people were converted by him, in his day, the Lord raised him up. How do I know this? I know all this, and I saw even my friend kneel before the officer, the Salvation go back. They had general and colonel and captains and so forth. As he waved the red flag over his head. And that was baptism by fire. Well, I thank God that because I joined the Salvation Army for a few months after I was saved in the Great Johnson Revival in 1935, I was kept clear from going astray into an organization that is not according to our faith. That is the first thing. But what's the meaning of the Lord's Supper? Here it tells us that when Jesus had given thanks and broke the bread, take it. This is my body. This do, he said, in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup. And he said, this is my blood. This do, in remembrance of me. So the meaning of the Lord's Supper, first of all, is that we must remember His death for us. Now, how often do we do that? It used to be once a quarter at the time of the 16th century Reformation. Once in 4 months, they held the Lord's Supper to remember His death. But today it is universally accepted that we hold the Lord's Supper once a month. usually the first week of the month. But in our case, we hold the Lord's Supper on the second week. And then there are those of the brethren's persuasion. And they want to be very exact with the scriptures, quoting Acts chapter 20, verse 7. The first day of the week that they all came together to break bread, and that is to keep the Lord's Supper. That's up to them. But sometimes familiarity breeds contempt. They have hold it so often, they may not pay as much attention. We do remember the Lord's death. We read verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed," when they were holding the Lord's Supper, something occurred that was very unpleasant. Will it occur with us? It was a case of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the Lord Jesus. For he was a traitor. And it's written of him that it had been good if he had not been born. What a commentary. This is a matter of predestination of God, which we cannot go into. But for us to be predestined to betray the Lord, it is a very, very sad and sorry thing. So not all who come to keep the Lord's Supper are true. And we must examine ourselves. As they all, "Lord, is it I? Is it I?" And Judas pretended, "Is it I?" The Lord said, "Yeah, you are the one." He could not escape. That is what our Lord is. He is always right to the point, and he doesn't pull any punches. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, it will show the Lord's death till he comes." So those of us who love him, we want to keep it up. And we believe that he loves us and he forgives us. So the Lord said, "Drink ye all of it." And from my experience as a pastor, I myself receive the first blessing. When I tell the members, "Drink ye all of it." Many times, we commit sin. And we ask the Lord to forgive. And it seems he is quiet, and he doesn't answer us. But when he says, "Drink all of it," and we drink all of it, we follow him, we feel a wonderful feeling. The Lord has already forgiven me. He said, "Drink all of it." Let me tell you of the faith of some old ladies that I know. They are given once a month the taxi fare allowance to come to church. They stay away from their sons, and their sons give them the money. and they come to the church with double benefit in their hearts. Not only we go there, we drink all of it, the Lord forgives me my sins. But also that the Lord will heal me of my sickness. The old ladies have such a faith. We cannot say anything more or less. But thank the Lord that they have such wonderful faith. They feel that the Lord's Supper also can heal them of their sicknesses. Now we come to the next part, part two of the meaning of the Lord's Supper, as I divide them. And that is that when they come to partake of the Lord's Supper, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. But he that will eat and drink unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Sometimes it's rather unclear, but this way is not discerning the Lord's body. Makes me feel we have the right interpretation. When you come to partake of the Lord's Supper, what do you mean by saying this is my body and this is my blood? We just take anyhow. But according to Calvin, who is the father of the Presbyterian Church, we take it spiritually. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ, as you come and partake of it. You just come and take thoughtlessly. People take, we take, that's all. And this is counter to the Roman Catholic interpretation. They also don't care. They do not know what that is. They just follow the priest. And the priest will mumble something in Latin and say, this is my body, this is my blood, in Latin. And they give rise to a doctrine known as transubstantiation. That means when they say that the bread and the wine become the actual flesh, the actual blood of Jesus Christ. Which is very powerful and effective, they say. But the doctrine of transubstantiation, to say that when they mumble something and they say, now it becomes the actual flesh and actual blood of Jesus Christ. We Protestants, Presbyterians, we do not believe it. My father told me a story, our family. He went to Bangkok in his young days. And he knew of a successful dentist. Because he was rich, he boasted around. Hey, they bring to us a bread and a wine, but where is the butter and the jam for us to use it on this, cover this bread? For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, many die. Here the Bible comments, when they are so irrelevant, they are so irreverent and make fun of the Lord's Supper, which we should not. We believe, according to Calvin's teaching, that we have the spiritual body and the spiritual blood of Christ. But the Roman Catholics say transubstantiation, the actual, which is not the truth. Then we come to another part, that if we would judge ourselves, when we come to the Lord's table, we must also judge ourselves. What's wrong with us? And I have been thinking, what is one thing that we are wrong? Namely, we pray the Lord's Prayer every Sunday. On Holy Communion Sunday, we say the same. And forgive us our trespasses, and say forgive those that trespass against us. But when you say this, do you mean? The story is told about two elders, and they're at odds with one another, whatever they mean. So one elder will serve one side of the church, one elder will serve the other side, because they are having hard feelings against one another. And I think that is something that is very true. Do you have anyone, you come to church and you look at him, you don't like him, you don't like to see his face. And so, we must judge ourselves that we truly forgive from our hearts, that if you come to the Lord, we all love one another in the Lord without any hypocrisy. And the last point about the meaning of the Lord's Supper, where Paul said, if any man hunger, let him eat at home. Why wait until the Lord's Supper? Well, the Lord's Supper now is, we take a little bit. But in the beginning, when they had the last Passover, Jesus and the disciples, they all ate a full meal. Then after that, he took some bread, broke it, as a ceremony of the Lord's Supper. That is a different thing apart from the eating. And so there are those mentioned by Paul. They were hungry, they did not have any food. Never mind. I just wait for the Lord's Supper. And we have a full makan first. And after that, they remember Christ there. Part two, part one, part two. Which shows that there must be an etiquette. There must be some proper manners to differentiate from the Lord's Supper, that we may have the true meaning. because we also had some makan, especially after prayer meeting. And it's a good thing that we have something to eat for fellowship and not that those who come in advance for prayer meeting tonight will not come for prayer but to eat. And so that is something we should learn, because there are some who come here truly to eat, and that's wrong. What is the meaning of the Lord's Supper? I have found out these 7 points. And a part of just eating and not caring what it is, when it is the spiritual blood and the spiritual bread, body of Christ. And that is our doctrine. And not the doctrine of transubstantiation like the Roman Catholics, that when a priest will mumble something, well, that becomes the actual flesh and blood of Christ. Every church that preaches a word, but it does not have the Holy Communion, nor the baptism in the right way, is not a proper church, but a para church organization like the Salvation Army. And in fact, the Salvation Army has now become much of a social service. I'm glad to see that they are trying to revive the preaching, which is good. But much of it has become social, collecting clothing from people and selling them or giving them away to the poor. We must come to the Lord's table to remember our Lord's death. And we do it now once a month, most appropriately. There was a traitor in the Lord's Supper, and that was Judas Iscariot. So it also shows not everyone who comes to keep the Lord's Supper is true. The old ladies who attended once a month, they drink all of it, they have experienced a joy, as I have experienced a joy. And they ask even that the Lord will heal them of their sickness by coming to the Lord's table. That is their faith. And we honor them. And then there is the holy elements, but they don't care. Like once, why don't they supply butter and jam? That is truly very discourteous. And we must forgive one another truly, that we don't hate our brother, dislike our brother or sister. And when they come to the Lord's Supper, we don't come to eat as in the old days, but we must come to keep the appointment with the Lord. Let us pray. Most Holy Father, How we thank thee for thy word. Sometimes it's hard to understand. But you have shown us the history of the passage. We hope that it is clear to the members this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.